Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I got to tell you tonight, if you do not feel the presence of the Lord in this place, and you might want to check out that witness bearer and see if it is present in you, if he is present in your life. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It lets us know that we are his children. Amen. Let me say, as I'm trying to get myself hooked up here, should have done this beforehand. Let me say from the very bottom of my heart that this thing here. There we go. From the very bottom of my heart, church, I want to thank you for the appreciation that you show to men and women in uniform, past and present. That is not a common thing in churches. A lot of churches are afraid to do that. I've been around the world, and I've been in a lot of churches and even in a lot of military churches, and let me just say that I've not experienced it to this level before, and so I want to thank you. I know that our other uniformed members, both past and present, thank you as well. You know, I thought this morning, as we honored some of these men, and as Brother Bill Lang was standing up here, you know, when I came back from Iraq, literally, I had people standing as I walked down through the aisles at the airport, clapping. They'd come up and shake my hand. I had people buy my meals in restaurants, people that would give up a first-class seat on an airplane just because I was in uniform. You know, men like Bill Lang and those others that served in Vietnam didn't see anything like that. And let me tell you, they faced things. They faced the kind of fighting that has not been seen since Vietnam. So I appreciate the appreciation, I guess, for the armed services. But when you see a Vietnam vet, and I'm not trying to discount anybody else that has served anywhere else, but when you see a Vietnam vet, you need to have a special place of appreciation in your heart for those folks. I just felt the Lord lead me to say that. All right. Well, Pastor Dave preached a phenomenal message this morning, and I am always amazed at how the Lord works things out. I have been pondering the message that I was going to, a pastor asked me, I think it was Wednesday or last Sunday, to preach tonight, and I've been thinking about this and working on this for a little while now, and I'm just amazed at how the Lord brought this together. When I heard Pastor Dave's message, at first I thought he was going to preach the message that I had been working on, but the Lord was able to work that out and steer him a little bit clear of that, and so thank the Lord for that. But it was a great message. Pastor Dave spoke largely on an America that's worth fighting for. I don't know if that's the exact title of the message that he gave this morning, but he talked about an America that's worth fighting for. And believe me, this country is worth fighting for. He spoke largely of some of the heroes of our day, some of the heroes of days past that have fought and died and left their blood on foreign land for our country. He talked about Pearl Harbor, and I've been there. I know the feeling that he felt at Pearl Harbor. I have been there. There are heroes. We have heroes in our church here. There are heroes. I have a friend of mine. Had a friend. His name was William McDaniels, and he was an Air Force combat pararescue man, and he lost his life in 2003. Heroes. There's a man by the name of John Chapman, who is a combat control officer, who lost his life in the mountains of Afghanistan. Saved nearly 8 people on his team. His own single actions. Went to the enemy, disregarded his own life. Saved the lives of his team members, heroes. But as I thought about what to preach tonight, my heart turned and I look at these heroes. And you know, we talk about heroes all the time, and we ask ourselves, those of you that have been in the military and have been in any place of danger, have probably asked yourself that question. If I am put in the shoes of that individual, will I act as heroically as that person did? What are the characteristics? Is there some common thread that we can find in those heroes that we can look and identify and say, hey, if someone has that characteristic, they will perform that way? We use many terms when we talk about our heroes. We talk about of someone being courageous. We talk about someone who's selfless. Someone who is perhaps at times fearless. And we use many things to try to describe them. And we wonder, if we were in their place, will we behave? Will we act in the way that they act? Will we act heroically? But that got me to thinking. As much as I think we need to honor our men and women that have acted heroically, as much as we need to place them in a place of honor and try to learn from them, how much more should we as Christians try to learn from the heroes of the faith? Amen. How much more should we look to the heroes of the faith and find out what was it in their lives that rose them to the elevated stature of a hero? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We try to learn, we ask ourselves that question of whether or not we'll be like those heroes on the battlefield. The question tonight is, will we be spiritual heroes? Will we follow in the footsteps of the heroes of our faith? Please stand as we read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the heroes of the faith. I thank you for the Word of God that you have given to us. I thank you that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Lord, help us tonight to learn from your Word. Lord, move me out of the way completely. Let your Holy Spirit have free course tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You see, the Scriptures are very, very clear about the one thing that raises people to that elevated status of the heroes of our faith. We find it right here in the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I've been struggling for some time in my life with this matter of faith. Not to say that I don't believe that I lack a tremendous amount of faith or that I just have no faith. That's not what I mean, but my understanding of faith. You see, as we look in the Scriptures, we find so much that is accomplished through faith. And as I look at these things, I'm amazed and I'm humiliated, because how much do I expect for God to do in my life through faith? Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 17. I find myself in the same position. I find myself in a much lower position than we find here in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14 with the disciples. Matthew chapter 17, beginning verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So I look at my own life and I see the things, Lord, why hasn't this come to pass in my life? Why haven't you done this thing in my life? Why haven't I gotten past this level in my life? Because of your unbelief. We look to the heroes on the battlefield and we ask if we would rise to that level. Folks, we need to be looking to the heroes of our faith and learning from the faith that they emphasize. Indeed, if you, I've enjoyed reading through the Gospels, as Pastor has encouraged us to try to read through the New Testament before the end of this year. And it's amazing to me the different things that you learn as you read the same story from one gospel to the next. What we find here is that in Mark chapter 9, it's the exact same story. And in verse 24, we find out that it's not just the disciples that had a problem with belief, but it was the father of the lunatic himself. And in verse 22, he's explaining, it says, oft times it's cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. This is what we need to pray, Christian. Help thou. Help thou, Lord, my unbelief. I've come to a place in my life where I'm asking the Lord to do that. Lord, it's obvious that I don't understand what true faith in you is. You see, back there in the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ explained to the disciples, he said, if you had but the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. I don't know how big a mustard seed is. I've read it and it's very, very small, but I got to tell you, my faith, you couldn't find it under a microscope. You got to understand, the disciples had already performed miracles. The disciples had already been casting out demons. And they got to this point and Christ told them, you don't even yet have the faith of a mustard seed. What demons have I cast out? What miracles have I performed? What wonderful and mighty things is God doing in my life so that I can say I even have that amount of faith? So we're going to take the time tonight to learn from our heroes of the faith about what faith really is. Turn back and we'll spend almost the rest of the time in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The first thing to notice, as I already stated, was that it is by faith that they have elevated to that position of heroes of our faith. There's nothing else in this chapter that it is described by for these individuals other than faith. As a matter of fact, you find in verse 6 that Jesus Christ says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look, faith is important in the Bible. You just look at how many times faith is mentioned. In just the New Testament alone, the word faith is mentioned 229 times. The word believe is mentioned in 114 different verses. Just by comparison, the word sin is mentioned 90 times in the New Testament. Love is mentioned 157 times and grace 122 times. Not even half as much as the word faith. I'm not saying these other things are unimportant. You know they are. But when God mentions something that many times, we need to wake up and take heed and understand the importance of it. Faith is important because without it, it's impossible to please him. Look, when I get to the end of my life, I would love it to be known as Brother Mike Freimeyer. He was a man full of compassion, which I got to work on. He was a man that was meek, which I've got to work on. He was a man of humility. He was a man of love. But so much more, I want to be known as a man of faith because it's faith that pleases God. Nothing else that we do amounts to anything if we don't do it in faith. We've got to understand that from the Scriptures tonight. The first and foremost thing was that they rose to that stature of heroes because of their faith. But we see something about their faith. Their faith caused them to understand truth. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Folks, it is through faith that we understand the truth of the Scripture. The world today would have us to believe that, think we evolved from monkeys, right? Which, as Pastor Dave said this morning, is probably for most of us an insult to the monkeys and not to us. Faith causes us to understand the truth of God's Word. Hey, it's faith that causes us to understand that God created the earth in 6 days. How many things How many problems do we have in this world simply because of that one thing that people do not believe? Hey, people don't believe in accountability because they don't believe that there's a God that created this earth. People don't believe that there's order to this universe. Things are just kind of going around however they want to go because they don't believe that there's a God that has set this earth into existence. Hey, people, we understand truth because of faith. Faith helps us to understand that it is by believing in Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross of Calvary and the fact that he rose 3 days later, it is faith in God's word that allows us to understand the truth of salvation. It is faith that allows us to understand that once we've come to Christ, once we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that there is absolutely nothing on the face of this planet that can rip us out of the hands of Jesus Christ and the hands of God the Father and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can do that. And it's faith that allows us to understand that truth. The heroes of the faith had no problem standing up for truth, let me tell you that. The heroes of the faith weren't going to stand around when somebody stood up and said, well, you know, I think maybe this star exploded and then we came into existence. Hey, the heroes of our faith weren't standing for that. And it's time that we as Christians don't stand for that nonsense anymore either. It's time for us to stand up for the truth of God's word. It's time for us to stand up for what is right and what is wrong. It's time for us to understand and have faith in the truth of God's word. We've lost this. You know, I've lost this. I'm not sure that I ever even have truly had this. We sell God so short, oftentimes, of what he can do through us. But you know, we see that their faith caused them to understand truth. The second thing that we see is that through faith, they were obedient. Through faith, they were obedient to God's word. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel understood that it was the blood sacrifice that God required.
That's right.
And because of that faith, he obeyed God. By faith, Abraham, in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, Moses, look at verse 28, by faith, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Hey, Moses probably didn't understand everything that was going on that night. But I got to tell you, when God told him to kill that lamb and to strike the posts of the door with the blood, he obeyed. The Bible says, by faith, he obeyed. You see, we need to understand something about God. Without faith, we already said, it is impossible to please him. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that he is. Yep. Folks, we got to have an understanding of who God is. Yep. Hey, God is God. God is the God that created this universe. God is the God that keeps this universe in existence. God is the one that keeps you alive. God is the one that allows you to wake up and breathe in every single morning. We've got a God that is an incredible God, an amazing God, a miraculous God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God. Everyone that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, Abel understood that God rewarded obedience. Moses understood that God rewarded obedience. Abraham understood that God rewarded obedience. Listen, I don't know what it is that God is asking you to do tonight. I really don't. God may be asking, God may be calling somebody right here to be a pastor. God may be calling somebody to be a missionary's wife. God may be calling somebody out there to be a pastor, a missionary, going to full-time service. God may be tugging on your heart about giving to missions. I don't know what it is, but listen, folks, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that obey him. If we're having problems with obeying him, it's because we have a problem with faith. We have a problem understanding that God really does follow through with his promises. When God says all things work together for good to them that love him, we got to understand that that promise is true. And we got to, by faith, step out and obey God. It is through faith that they were obedient. The heroes of our faith were obedient to God. But the heroes of our faith, by faith, stood up for what was right. I already talked about how they understood truth, but folks, they stood up for what was right. We are so lacking that in this world today. We are lacking that in Christianity today. I'm lacking that in my own life, standing up for what is right, doing what is right. You see, Rahab did what was right. She hid the spies because she knew it was the right thing to do. Yeah. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife because it was the right thing to do. Daniel got on his knees, knowing full well what was going to happen to him. He got on his knees and lifted up his hands and prayed to the God in heaven because it was the right thing to do. Keep going. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those folks said, king, no way. I'm not bowing down. They're in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Young people, there are people in your lives right now, and there are going to continue to be people that are going to try to get you to do the wrong thing. These were young men. Daniel was a young man. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were young men. There was an entire nation trying to get them to do the wrong thing. But by faith, they did what was right. By faith, David knew that it was the right thing to let King Saul live. You find that over in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Hey, his men were telling him, look, David, now's your chance. You can kill the king. He said, who am I to lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed? David stood up and did the right thing, and it was by faith. What about you, Christian? Do you struggle to stand up for what is right? Do you struggle to say, hey, cut it out, when you hear somebody take the name of the Lord in vain? Do you struggle to stand up and say something when people are telling those dirty jokes in the workplace? Do you struggle to stand up for what is right? Another thing that we see by the heroes of our faith is that by faith, God performed the impossible. By faith, God performed the impossible. Back in the beginning of chapter 11, look in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Yes. By faith, God performs the impossible. Folks, do we believe this today? You see, it was by faith that God parted the waters of the Red Sea. It was by faith that God took 300 lousy men and Gideon and defeated the Midianites that the Bible says were like grasshoppers in the field. Their numbers were so great. It was by faith that God caused the waters of the Jordan River to part so that Israel could go across. It was by faith that Joshua took the children of Israel, and ludicrous, let me tell you, what a ludicrous thought, that, hey, we're just going to march around these walls and they're going to come tumbling down. But Joshua and the people of Israel had faith that God could do something that was impossible. Do you believe tonight that God can do something that is impossible in your life? What is it in your life that you think is impossible? By faith, God can perform the impossible. You know that there are actually people out there that try to tell us today that teaching these Old Testament stories in Sunday school and junior church has lost its purpose, and that serves no purpose. They're wonderful stories, but they serve no purpose for our young children. That's hogwash. Amen. That is absolute hogwash. The stories of the Old Testament show us the might, show us the magnificence of a God that is able to perform miraculous things. I already talked to you about Gideon. Abraham fathered a nation when he was almost 100 years old. Sarah was only a little bit younger than that. And they had a child. And it was by faith that they did that. By faith, the Israelites, already said, crossed the Red Sea. You know, by faith, Jonathan took his armor bearer and said, hey, you come with me. We're going to scale this mountain, and then we're going to go up there, and we're going to whoop up on 20 Philistines. It was by faith that Jonathan was able to do that. It was by faith that David, with his own hand, slew the lion, the bear, and then by faith that he went and killed Goliath. All of these miraculous stories of the Old Testament. And I hope that you're getting the picture tonight. when the world tells us that all hope is lost, when it seems like this country has gone too far to turn back, Christian, don't believe that for a minute. Have faith in God. You know what? It might be true. It might be true that this country is gone. But don't you for a minute think that God can't turn it around from where it is right now and bring revival here in Ravenna, bring revival in Ohio, bring revival back in the United States of America. I'm here to tell you, our God is a great God. Our God can do the impossible. It may seem impossible, but it is not. It may seem impossible that God could save a brother who tried to commit suicide 2 times. Hey, our God is the God of the impossible. Have faith in God that He can do something like that. Hey, you might think that God can't put food on your table. You might think that God can't get you a job. You might think that God can't build us a building out on 27 acres of land. Our God is a God that does the impossible. It's time for us to start believing that God can do that. Amen. The heroes of our faith believed in a God that could perform the impossible. Oh, the children of Israel were a lot like us. They whined and they moaned until God came along and did something miraculous. How much better would it be to trust God and to expect that He's going to do something great for you? Amen. Expect that He's going to do something great in your life. Heroes of our faith believed in a God that performed the impossible. Let me tell you tonight, the heroes of our faith are proof that there is a God that is still working in heaven. He's still working here on earth. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We've seen that it is through this faith that our heroes knew and believed the truth. They obeyed God's commands. They stood for what was right, and through faith, God performed the miraculous and extraordinary. But now let's bring this home. We've heard all of this before, and yet we still struggle. And yet we still find ourselves on our knees as the father of the lunatic that says, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." What is going to make the difference? How are we going to have faith in our life? Folks, we've got to understand the source of faith is not within us. We can't muster up faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, the very next chapter. Wherefore, in verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, that's what the heroes of the faith did. They ran with patience. You know, they were looking forward to a promise that they would never see. Many of them were looking forward to the promise of even just the promised land. You know, Moses never got to see that. But still, greater than that, they looked forward to the promise of Jesus Christ that would come and pay the ultimate sacrifice for their sin debt. And they never saw that, but they ran with patience. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. Folks, Brother Art preached it so well last week. It's all about Him. Even faith, folks, is all about Him. Faith is not about us. Faith is not about trying to muster up, okay, I gotta believe. That's not what it's about. Faith is about Jesus Christ. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Folks, the source of faith is indeed Jesus Christ. We know about Jesus Christ. We learn of His faith, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10. For by hearing, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we've got to be in our place. We've got to hear the Word being preached. But you know, that goes beyond that as well. We've got to be in the Bible. That's what pastor's trying to do for us. You want your faith built. You want to have the faith of the heroes of faith. Get into the book. Read about what God did for your hero. Everybody's got a different one. I think it's pretty clear that the Apostle Paul was one of Pastor Dave's heroes of the faith. Hey, everybody's got a different faith, but the wonderful thing, a different hero, but the wonderful thing, we can learn from them as we get into God's Word. The heroes of our faith rose to that level. They were known because of their faith. They had a good report, the Bible says, because of their faith. They understood truth because of their faith. They obeyed because of their faith and stood for what was right because of their faith. And God did miraculous things because of their faith. They were soldiers. We took the time today to honor soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines. When we go to war with weapons. We've got some good ones. But I got to tell you, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 talks to us about the weapons of this warfare that we fight. Chapter 6 and verse 16 says this, above all, taking the shield of faith. Our heroes took the shield of faith in their daily battles that they fought, and they were successful. They had a good report because of their faith. The question tonight for us Christian is, are we like that father of that lunatic? Are we on our knees before the Lord saying, Lord, I believe in the best way that I possibly can? Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is but belief and trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary, dying for your sins and rising again the third day. It is very simple belief in that, calling upon His name and you can be saved. But for us, Christian, are we asking the Lord? Hey, I know that everybody in here has something miraculous that they need the Lord to do in their lives, not just want. Folks, one of the problems with our faith is that so oftentimes we're trying to have faith for what God can do for us instead of having faith for what God wants to do in and through us. You see, as you read what has come to be known as the Hall of Faith in chapter 11, you find God was not just doing things for people. God was busy at work doing things through people for His purpose. When we start to change our mind about the purpose for faith, the purpose for faith is so that God can work through us, not so that we can have wonderful things, but so that God can work through us. Cry out like that lunatic's father. Help thou mine unbelief. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, rose again that third day. Lord, I thank You for the faith, the heroes of our faith that have gone on before us, have testified of a God that is able, ready, and willing to perform miraculous things. Help us tonight to trust in Him. Lord, help us, help our faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Pastor.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. That's got to be one of the greatest messages I've ever heard on faith. That was, if that didn't move your heart, something wrong. You're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I don't want to end up going to hell. Pray for me. As Brother Mike preached, I thought about that man. There's been times I've been like that, lots of times. Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Maybe you've been like that. Maybe even lately you've been like that. Maybe you'd say tonight, preacher, I'll be honest with you. Lately, my faith has been challenged. Lately, I've been kind of like that one man with that lunatic sign. Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Preacher, would you pray for me that God would help strengthen my faith? Who'd say that? Yes. Oh my, over the building. Oh my. Both sides. God bless you. Oh my, probably about 75% of the people. Wow. We're going to pray. Maybe you'd want to come and pray tonight. Maybe you just get down the altar. By the way, before I came up here, I prayed, oh God, help my unbelief. Lord Jesus, I pray for, Lord, there were so many hands. I believe there was more than 50% of the people in this church right now, at least it looked like to me, raised their hand and said, lately their faith has been challenged. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would help strengthen our faith. And God, help us to walk in faith. And help us to see things done. And help us to do things through you and for you by faith. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.